Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
Hawaii is a gorgeous place.
Yes, it is.
It is about as close to paradise as you're going to find on this planet. When you got there, someone welcomed you with a lei, is that right?
Yes. You know, I had never seen so many flowers and beautiful orchids. And it's an interesting name for such a beautiful place like that, because we always relate paradise to beauty and gardens and flowers and trees. And actually, the Bible is the one that gave us that language.
That's right. You know, today we're closing off our study of the book of Revelation, and we do it by studying about paradise. We're talking about heaven and the earth made new and the beautiful things that we will see there as we read from Revelation chapter 22. And this is, you know, God making all things new. He's bringing us back full circle from what he had planned in the beginning to now it's been interrupted by sin, and he's restoring it again here at the end of time.
What is interesting is that the last chapter of Revelation is not just the end of our study with you, but is the last chapter of the Bible,
right?
Which means that at some level, we need to be able to understand how is this the last word of the message that God had for us. And one of the simple things to understand about the Bible, I know a lot of people say it's complicated. You know, we met a waitress this week with Mike as we were putting together some of the programs. And she says, you know, I'm starting to study the Bible, she said to us, but she said, it's so complicated. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, the big issues of the Bible are actually very simple. And today we will see one of them that comes full circle from the very beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation.
Let's start by reading Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation.
Now, we're starting to use a language that is a little different than the rest of the language of Revelation. You know, remember, Revelation has a lot of the language from the Exodus and from the exile and from the book of Jeremiah and Isaiah and Zechariah. All of a sudden, we are going back to Genesis now, because the tree of life was introduced to us back in Genesis chapter 2, when God was preparing the nursery for his children. You know how you prepare a room when you're about to have a child? You know, God is preparing this beautiful garden, and we get a lot of this language from back then.
Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, talking about the Garden of Eden. And the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food, the tree of life. Also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
So the tree of life, which symbolizes eternity, because here we have the humanity getting life from God, and they eat from this tree of life that is eternity symbol. And the word garden in the Greek translation of the Old Testament is paradeiso, paradeiso. So the tree of life was in paradise.
In paradise.
Is where we get the English word paradise. And God has prepared this beautiful place for humanity filled with flowers and trees. And,
so we have this full circle again, the tree of life in paradise, and now restored in paradise made new here at the end of time.
Yeah, but the problem was that we lost the access to the tree of life. That was the problem, because if we had never sinned, the need for the Bible will not be there. See, what the Bible does, it tells us how God resolved what happened to the human race and the interruption in eternity.
God's plan was for us to have perfect union, perfect harmony with him, to have perfect intimacy. That was his plan all along, but that was interrupted by sin. And that's where all the evil and the sickness and the death has come from. But he's saying, but now it's going to be over, because I sent my son Jesus in order to pay the price for this. And now I'm going to restore paradise to you.
Yes. And at the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, which is the chapter of the fall, the last verse tells us the sad condition. The humanity no longer has access to the tree of life. Verse 24 says, so he drove the men out, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Humanity no longer had access to it.
He placed that cherubim there, the angel, to guard access to the tree of life because of man's rebellion. But now he opens up access again because we have been redeemed here at the end of time.
In the last blessing in the book of Revelation, which is found in chapter 22 of Revelation, verse 14, remember we told you there are seven blessings in the book of Revelation, seven beatitudes. And this one has to do with humanity having again access to the tree of life that was in the paradiso.
Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Wash their robes. Well, what do we wash our robes in? Oh, 7:14, Revelation 7:14 tells us that we wash them in the blood of the Lamb, and that's how they are made white, and that's what gives us right to eat of the tree of life.
So here we have the full circle. We started at the tree of life, we lost it. Then we, at the end of Revelation, we are back at the tree of life. So the question is, when did this breakthrough happen? And remember that Revelation is the good news that Christ is victorious. But when did this breakthrough happen? When was the door to, or the gate to paradise mm-hmm. reopened for humanity? And I find very interesting a story that is in the Gospels. And I know this is not Revelation, but it's the only place in the Gospels where actually Jesus uses the word paradise. Mm-hmm. Actually, the exact word from Genesis, the paradiso, where the tree of life was. And this is the dialogue that Jesus is actually having with the thief on the cross in chapter 23 of the Gospel of Luke. Many of you remember this story, but I find it very interesting that Jesus promises this man access to paradiso right there on the cross when he's dying to open up the path.
It is an amazing story that this thief who, you know, for all we know, this may have been the first lucid moment of his life, and he's there hanging on the cross and he sees this man who's dying next to him and has the gall to ask him this incredible question, you know, when you come into your kingdom, here he's dying on the cross, yeah. When you come into your kingdom, yeah. Remember me. And Jesus says, remember you, no, you're going to be there with me. I'm not just going to remember you, you're going to enjoy it with me.
Yeah, let's read in verse 42 and 43 of Luke 23.
And as he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
So the actual original puts the with me in the middle, and yeah. It says, truly I say to you, with me you will be in paradise. Your ticket to the paradiso is the fact that you're going to be there with me, which is consistent with Revelation's last words in the last chapter, that those that wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb now again have access to this tree of life that was in the paradiso. Many of the topics, the theological themes throughout the Bible are coming together in this mm-hmm. last chapter of the book of Revelation.
This is the bow on the package that wraps it all up. You know, there's something else that I'd like to point out here, and that is the desire of the bridegroom for his bride, how anxious Jesus is to receive us. And we see this in three different verses here. And as I listen to this, I hear the voice of a bridegroom who's engaged and he's separated from his bride and he writes the letter. And this is what he says in verse 7, and behold, I'm coming quickly. I'm coming quickly. And then you skip down to verse 12. Behold, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me. You skip over to verse 20. Yes, I'm coming back quickly.
Oh, how wonderful. How wonderful. Look at the urgency of the bridegroom saying, I'm coming. I'm coming. This is it. This is the last time that we're going to be separated. And three times in the chapter 22.
It's almost like he's run out of other things to say. The only thing I can say is, I'm going to be there soon. Finally, we'll be together again.
Yes. One of the things I love about this last part is the final invitation. Mm-hmm. We have the Spirit of God who has been present since the beginning of the book of Revelation. We now have the bride also calling out. So in verse 17, we have again the verse that we had found in Isaiah 55:1 that we talked to you about, this invitation to come and take of the water without cost. And now everybody's talking. It's almost like you know, you see something coming and you know the end, and now you're getting really, really loud. Not only is the bridegroom getting really loud. I'm coming quickly. But everybody else is too.
Well, we've watched this great drama, the drama on planet Earth, of this whole thing that's played out before us. And now all of the cast of characters, all the good people, are standing there with this last appeal, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost.
This is the greatest invitation we find. It's like the final invitation where everybody joins in. The Spirit of God is calling. The church is calling. Everybody who hears starts calling. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden we have this loud voice and saying, come, come and join us because this is the end. And look what we're going to be doing. We're going to live in Paradiso, which was the original plan. So please come. There's no cost. The cost has been paid. That's why the bridegroom was dressed with a robe dipped in blood. Remember?
That's right. You have an invitation. You've received your invitation. We just read it to you in verse 17 of chapter 22. The invitation is for you to spend eternity in paradise, not just a week or two flying to Hawaii, a lovely place where you're going to spend too much money for things, but eternity in paradise where everything is free. It's been paid for. It's an all-inclusive vacation throughout all eternity. But even better than that, it is you with uninterrupted intimacy with the one who has loved you from the beginning of all times. Even before you were born, he has loved you enough to surrender his life for you.
And this is the final two verses of the Bible. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And then he says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
My voice raises with John's right now. Come, Lord Jesus. Come soon, Lord Jesus.
We can't wait.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!